Welcome to SickCast, brought to you by Sick Research Institute, illuminating every path.
My name is Jasleen Kaur, and I'm a trans creator on the Guru Granth Sahib Project. We're excited to announce the release of Guru Nanak Sahib's Alani. This composition is set in the rag or musical mode of Vadhans, which is common to both wedding and death ceremonies. It's associated with folk traditions, and so sort of coupled with that, Alania are the songs of sorrow that are sung after someone dies. And usually the immediate like female relatives of the deceased sing these songs as a group publicly, displaying their grief and pain by beating their chests and wailing. And as you might recall, Vadhans means the great swan. And that swan is often associated with a life or spirit or soul, if you use that word, within us. And the Guru Granth Sahib often refers to the difference between being swan-like, which is to be kind of calm on the waters of life, versus being crane-like, which is to be full of pretense. And so, all that being said, this composition is about our potential to be swan-like and sort of more vastly understanding of folk culture and sort of taking us out of just the setting of folk culture into a vaster perspective. So Guru Nanak Sahib uses this common experience to guide us toward a larger understanding of how we deal with pain, basically. Like, how do we get through painful times without building on that pain? How do we practice acceptance? How do we come to be reflective even in times of great mourning? And how do we move towards remedies for that pain rather than sort of picking at our wounds? Like, what is the balm that we are pursuing? And so it's a total of 24 stanzas, which is quite long, but I thought I'd focus on the first composition and a couple of lines in stanza 3 that have really stuck out to me, and then I can talk a little bit about something I've noticed throughout the 24 stanzas. So in stanza 3, the Guru says, Jyotis bhave samrat so thiye, hilra eo sansaro, jal thal mehyal rav rahya, sachara sirjan haro. As always, excuse my pronunciation, but the translation is whatever pleases that capable creator, that happens. This world is only a means. The true creator is dwelling in the ocean, land, on the surface of the earth. And so the word that's really stuck with me is that word hilra, which has the connotation of like a place or a space that provides an opportunity for something, a means. I've just been thinking about this world and these lives and this time as a means, as an opportunity to earn that which pleases Ikonkar, the One, and to engage in things that bring us closer to that One. And the reason that second line is so important is because we can engage in things that make us feel the presence that's already there, right? Like, it's not like Ikonkar is not pervading every space. It's just that we don't always feel it. And so the things that we engage ourselves in this world, which is a means, can either bring us to an experience of that presence or bring us to an experience of forgetfulness or an inability to feel that presence. And so I've been thinking about that because it is such a hopeful thing. If I can kind of zoom out a little bit and talk about this first Alani more generally, Guru Nanak Sahib in the first two stanzas explores the play of Ikonkar in this world and reminds us that Ikonkar, the One, has gotten us all busy in doing different things, in sort of different work, deeds, affairs, tasks, whatever you want to say, and paths. So the paths we walk are also part of this play. And all of us come here for an allotted time to do those tasks. And when our time is up, we go, right? So in those first two stanzas, the Guru is urging us not to get too caught up in the temporary or in the quote unquote like false. And in the third and fourth stanza, the Guru emphasizes that whatever's happening is what pleases the command of the One. And that emphasis is on the sort of power and potency of the command and eternality of the command too, right? So like none of us can change it or interfere with it. But it's not that like we have no ability to engage ourselves in some things and to disengage ourselves from other things. So the Guru is asking us to be wise, to not waste our time in sort of displays of grief or in things that bring us pain, to understand the cultures and the paradigms that we live in, and to maybe recenter ourselves in a vaster understanding of even these painful things like death and loss as part of that larger play. And that's like really, I don't know, that's really hard for us, I think, to actually internalize. Like, we can tell ourselves that, but especially in times of great mourning and grief, I think it becomes quite difficult. And something that's really struck me, sort of transitioning into this larger theme that I've noticed throughout this composition, is that the guru is quite compassionate about the pain that we're experiencing. There isn't this kind of tone of shame or condemnation of like, why are you crying about that? You shouldn't be crying about that. You know that everybody dies. This is like the most constant sort of truth about being alive, right? We know that the things that come must go. There isn't any of that kind of scolding, if I can use that word. A lot of these compositions, if you go through all 24 stanzas, end with an address to all of us as "O Bubba." And you might remember from previous compositions and commentaries that Bubba is a reference to the wisdom within us, this potential we have to become the wise ones. And the guru is using it throughout this composition, throughout these stanzas. We are being addressed this way as we're getting like hard truths that we know, but that we still kind of live in denial about, right? And the guru is constantly referring to us as wise ones, constantly speaking to the wisdom within us, and often ends with, I know you're crying. If you're going to cry, cry. But what are you crying for? Like, what? Think about why you're crying. Reflect on why you're crying. There's a gentle urging towards a vaster understanding about what it means to be human and temporary and to experience loss, and what it means to understand that loss as part of the play. And so, I don't know, I found this series of stanzas quite gentle, quite compassionate, even as we're talking about a thing that we really struggle to come to terms with, even as we experience it so often in varying ways, and we'll continue to as humans in the world. We have to have a relationship with death, but what if we understand that as a larger relationship with the command and with the one whose command we are under? How would that change things for us? So, all that being said, there are 24 stanzas for you to take your time with. There are translations and transcreations. There are commentaries, word meanings as always, footnotes if you're interested. I really have felt this series of stanzas really work on me in a lot of ways, and I'm sure I'll keep coming back to it as I keep being in the world and experiencing death in all of its manifestations. So spend some time with it and see what it can bring you. See if it starts to call out that wisdom from within you, because we have that potential. Waheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Waheguru Ji Ki Fateh.
Read the translations and commentaries at gurugrantsahib.io.
You are listening to SikhCast by Sikh Research Institute, illuminating every path.